Hello, this is Pastor Travis from Unity Church Magnolia. We want to thank you for joining us today for this week's podcast. We pray that it will encourage you and strengthen you for your journey with Christ. We hope to see you soon. God bless you as you listen.
If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We did a lot today, and I think you're going to get out on time. Here's how that works. If you preach with me, I preach better and faster. So here's what you can do. We're going to practice, okay? We're going to practice. All right? So if I say something like, the Lord is good, you're going to do what? All right. And if I say, you got to get rid of sin, you can just say, oh, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord. Do something. Preach with me. Come into agreement. So, the Lord is good. There you go. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. I just feel a little goofy this morning. I don't know. Chapter 9, verse 24. We're on a series entitled The Race, and it says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. How many knows if you run, you might as well run to get the prize? We talked about Wednesday night. Listen, that, you know, probably the best motivation to do something good is not so that you can get something, right? That's probably not the best motivation. However, I think that God gives us incentive. Does everybody know what that is? Incentive is where you say, hey, if you do this, I will do that. It gives us something to work for, something to work towards. God has given us incentive to say, hey, if you do what I ask you to do, if you live a life that I've asked you to live, if you will live in a way that is pleasing to me, then I'm going to have a prize that is ready for you. Listen, how you spend eternity depends on how you spend your time right here. Right? And I'm not just talking about heaven or hell. I'm talking about how your time is spent in heaven. And listen, there is rewards and prizes that you get to work towards. Now, I want to run in a way that I'm going to get the prize. So Jesus is saying, hey, for no other reason, run to get the prize, man. It's going to be good. Can somebody shout, it's going to be good. Now watch this. Incentive is always good. Watch this. Everyone who competes in a game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But listen, now this is what Paul, apostle of Christ, writer of most of the New Testament, right? He says this, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. The apostle of Christ says, hey, this is why I am running my race so hard, and I am running to win. I'm running because there is a prize that is waiting for me in glory, and it is worth every hardship, every trouble, every pain, every disappointment that I go through here on earth for Christ's sake. It is worth it. Look at somebody and say, it's worth it. All right. So if you're going to run, run to win. I think it's so funny. We watched some track meets last year. And you had kids, man, they came out of the gate, man, they were running their hearts out, man. They were going, and they were running, they were giving it everything they got. And then you had kids that were pacing themselves, and they realized the principles of the race and the things that would help them to win the race, and they're in it, man. And they may be in fourth or fifth place, but then on the last lap, you see them pushing ahead. But then you had the kids, who they were just happy to be there. Man, they're like a lap behind. They don't care. They just got to miss last period of school, right, or something. I mean, they didn't care. And so you're sitting around waiting for that kid. Somebody say, it's that kid. As long as that kid ain't my kid, I'm happy. And so, no, man, if I'm going to run a race, I'm going to run to win, right? If I'm going to train and I'm going to sweat and I'm going to give up my time and I'm going to do it to win. Can somebody say amen? Look at somebody and say, run, baby, run. So we're on this series and we're talking about how to run your race well. Last week we talked about preparation. Y'all just keep going just for a minute. In preparation, you've got to join the team. We talked about how joining the team is like accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. A lot of people think that that's it. Once I say the prayer in the altar, I'm done. I'm set for glory, right? No. That is like joining the team. That's saying, hey, Jesus, I want you to be my coach. I want you to call the shots in my life. I want to give you my life. I want to sign up on your team. I want to run the race the way you want me to run it. So I'm going to make you the coach of my life. I'm going to put you in charge of my life. It's not just saying, Jesus, save me from my sins. It's saying, Jesus, be the Lord and the master of my life. I give it to you. Do with it as you please. It's like joining the team. It's also, you've got to suit up. We talked about the power of the Holy Spirit, how I would hate to run my race without the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is the one that grants you the power to overcome everything that Satan will throw your way. Because Satan's going to throw some stuff your way, I promise you. He's not just going to sit there in the stands and say, well, he's going to win the race. No, man, he's going to throw some rocks at you. He's going to hit you with some things, but you're going to be equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have what it takes to overcome every obstacle. We also talked about how we must study the course and realize that our race with God is not like a simple track meet. It's more like a cross-country race. There's hills to climb. There's some sharp turns. How many's been going through life and then you just go through a sharp turn? You know what I'm saying? You thought things were going this way, but then the road turns on you. And you're like, but God, I didn't want to go that way. He's like, that's okay. I'm leading you to the prize. If you keep going this way, there's no prize. But if you go with the turns and the twists and the bumps and the holes and the dips and the valleys and the mountaintops, then I will get you to your prize. But the one thing that we know about God is there may be mountains to climb and there may be valleys of life that are low and hard and they may even stink. But my Bible says that God will lower the mountains in our life and He will fill in the valleys and He will make the rough places smooth. But Pastor, my life is hard. I get it. Doggone Adam ate the apple. Life is hard. And Satan is real. And my old flesh gets me in a lot of trouble. But my God makes those hard times smooth times. He fills in the valleys. He fills in those potholes. And you may say, I don't know how I'm going to climb this mountain. Can I tell you? Run, baby, run. Don't stop. Don't you stop. There may be a mountain in your way, but whenever you get to it, I serve a God who can flatten that baby out and you can go right through. Listen, I'm telling you that my God will make the rough places smooth. Can somebody say amen? How many's ever went through a hard time? Can you imagine, if you are a Christian, can you imagine going through that time without God? He makes the rough places smooth. You got to study the course. Today we're going to talk about perseverance. Father, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for allowing us to hear your word this morning. God, I pray that you will speak to our hearts and change our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody shouted, amen. Give the worship team a hand this morning. So last week we talked about preparation. This week, we're going to talk about perseverance. Perseverance, number one, we're going to talk about conditioning. Somebody say conditioning. We're going to talk about building strength and character and endurance. We're going to talk about how to build strength, character, and endurance. I've watched sports. Listen, I was watching tennis the other day on TV. I was talking about this Wednesday night, I think, or it may have been last week. And I used to like to watch golf on Sunday afternoons because, man, nothing will put you to sleep like a good game of golf, right? He's lining up on the putt, number three. You know, somebody gets excited, you don't even know about it. All right? It's like some of y'all in church. But I was watching a tennis match. I decided to branch out a little bit and watch tennis. My son plays tennis now, and so I was watching tennis. And man, there was a chick playing good, but I could tell a little bit about her character because it looked like she wanted to slap the other girl with her tennis racket. You know what I'm saying? You know? How many knows that you can be good at something, but if you don't have character, you're not going to go very far. Your character will take you farther than your talent. Philippians 4:13 says this, "For I can do everything." Oh, we love this. "I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Man, we quote that verse all day long and we love it. But we must remember that our strength comes from Christ. It doesn't come from our own abilities. You may be the best runner in the world, but you better know that it will only get you so far without Christ. One day the track is going to run out. So we've got to understand that our strength comes from the Lord. Things done in your own strength are not done well enough. If you're dependent on your own strength, it may get you so far. But can I tell you that if you put your trust and your hope in the Lord, He can take you the extra mile. Things done outside of God's strength is not done well enough. God will likely call you to do something that you are not capable of doing on your own. If you're doing something and you say, hey, what I'm doing is something that I've been, man, I'm equipped for it, man, I'm ready to go, and I can, man, I can see myself exceeding and excelling, and things are smooth and it's easy. If it's easy, you're probably on the wrong path. I'm just telling you. Now, I'm not trying to bring you down, but everything that God has called me to do in my life has caused a little bit of irritable bowel syndrome in my life. It has caused me to get up at night and say, oh my God, what have I got myself into? Did I hear? I think I heard what you were saying to Pastor Quay. That wasn't me, God. In fact, I'm going to call him in the morning and say, man, no, I'm going to let you do this. Right? Man, I'm telling you that sometimes God calls you to do things that are bigger than you. David, Daniel, Noah built a boat to fit two of every kind of animal in the world. And you're old. And everybody thinks you're crazy. God, weren't you talking to my son? He's younger. He's more capable. No, I'm talking to you, Noah. How many people are sitting in our churches and they're senior adults and they've been here their whole listen, and they say, my time has come and gone. Can I say, no, it's not, Noah. God has equipped you and He's called you that every day of your life should be the best day of your life. Every day, listen, God has not, if you are breathing with air in your lungs, God is not finished with you. Look at somebody say, He's talking to you this morning. Or how about you, Josiah? How about you, Josiah? Well, I'm too young. I just got to youth. You seventh graders, I just got to youth. You know, I loved it. I know it might be because it's pastor's daughter and she gets to weigh in, maybe so. But Kelsey was playing the box drum Wednesday night. She didn't know until Wednesday night when Pastor Quay said, hey, you're playing the box drum. And so she's like, I don't know how to play a box drum. I don't know how to play a box drum. I don't know. My daddy, will you stay with me? Right? I can pick on her now, Seth. Aren't you glad that Kelsey's in here now and I can pick on her? That's good. And so, Josiah was just a young guy who would have thought to entrust a kingdom to the young guy, to the kid. It'd be like choosing one of these guys on the front row and say, you are now king of a nation. How would you like that, buddy, if I said, hey, the church is yours now, just go run with it, right? Knuckle bump. No. Think about it. King of a nation. I don't know how to be king of a nation. Guess what? You learn. Can I tell you that everything that God has called me to do, I had not learned what I needed to yet to do that. It all required some learning as I went. Can I tell you why God does that? Because He wants to receive the glory. He wants to receive all the honor. Listen, if God called people who were overqualified for every position, then they would receive the glory. But what I believe is that God wants to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And I thank God for that. God will likely call you to do more than you were capable of doing on your own. Listen to this. If you don't need God, you're doing something wrong. If you don't need God, you're doing something wrong. If there's not moments in your life that something doesn't come over you and you hit your knees and say, God, if you don't help me, I'm in a mess. God, if you don't help me, if you don't come through, then I'm in a mess. If you don't need him and you can do everything on your own, you're either not doing enough or you're doing something wrong. Well, okay, wait. Hold on. I'll go to prosperity preacher on you. God's going to bless you. He's going to prosper you. He's going to see you. Listen, he's going to make you live in mansions and give you cars and. Now, I believe he can do all that if you're doing what he called you to do. Well, Isaiah 40:29 says he gives power to the strong, the capable, and the overqualified. No, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. How many of you have ever felt weak before? How many of you have ever felt powerless and saying, God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this? Well, baby, you just became a candidate to be empowered by the Holy Ghost. When your strength is gone, his strength kicks in. God, I don't know if I can finish this race. That is a high hill to climb. Listen, I used to run the farm road, and I know there's not big hills on the farm road, but they look big to me. In fact, I'd run them first, right? I start on that side. And my God, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I listen to my podcast from Joel Osteen, right? Right? I can do all things. Shut up, Joel Osteen. You ain't running the farm road. When your strength is gone, his strength kicks in. You see, God is like a Red Bull. God, I don't drink these things. In fact, I'm going to pour it down the drain when I get done because I don't want none of y'all to drink it either. I got a friend, he was drinking these. He was in his 20s and he had a heart attack. He was drinking one back and he had a heart attack. His heart got to racing too fast. He had a heart attack. He's had several heart attacks since, and now he's completely disabled at 40 years old. So I don't endorse these. But God is like a Red Bull, except his energy never runs out. How many of you ever heard that, seen that 3-hour energy? What I found about God is some people say, well, Pastor, what about burnout? How many of you know burnout is real? Now, just stay with me. Burnout is real. If you're not doing things God's way, when did Jesus ever burn out? Can you show me burnout in the Bible when people were doing things God's way? Do you know the only people that I know of that got tired of doing what God had called them to do is when they were doing things wrong and God had to send somebody and say, hey, dummy, you're doing this wrong. Now, that's Pastor Travis' translation. But listen, God is like your Red Bull. Listen, he will empower you to do everything he has called you to do. And if you're doing it God's way and you're doing what God called you to do and nothing more, now let it sink in. If you're doing what God called you to do and nothing more, then God is not going to call you to do something that's going to cause you to burn out. Can somebody say amen? Now, I know. Listen, it's going to get better, and you're going to start shouting with me here in a minute. God is like your Red Bull. His energy. Listen, what makes us think that there's just not enough power of the Holy Spirit to do what God's called us to do? That's not the case. God will equip you to do everything he has called you to do. Here, get rid of this for me. Thank you. Somebody told me I put the devil on my pulpit. Romans 5, 3 through 4 says this. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Hey, you know, I never heard Paul, who was shipwrecked, beaten, abandoned, left for dead, snake bit, the list goes on, thrown in jail, stripped naked. I mean, this dude had a hard time, right? Everywhere he went is like hard time. And I never heard Paul say, and I burn out for Jesus. You know what he said? He said, I finished my race, and I finished it well. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. You see, without hardship, there will be no endurance. If you've ever seen, I wish I would have brought some. I've got some at home. They've got like a lot of dust on them. But there are these endurance, these resistant bands. Has anybody ever seen those? You work out with them, you stretch. I had to go through therapy. I had hurt my back getting a jug of milk out of the fridge. And I'm not kidding. Threw out my back getting milk out of the fridge. And so they gave me these bands to do these exercises and stretches with. And they come in like packs of three. And you've got like the light resistance. Man, I can just do that all day long. I'm just, whoo, this is easy. And we're stretching it out, right? But then there's the medium resistance. That gets a little tiring. And then there's the third one, which I never got out of the plastic. This thicker, and it's takes a little bit more to do that. You know why? Because hardship produces endurance. If you are accustomed to sitting in the lazy boy all day long, flipping channels on the TV, how many knows you're probably not going to go bench press a couple of hundred pounds? Because all you're used to doing is lifting the remote. Right? But if you are accustomed to going to the gym and working out, and you start maybe with 50 pounds or 70 pounds or 100 pounds and you work your way up, how many knows you're building endurance? If you're going out and you're jogging during the day, or if you're running, or, you know, when you sign up for track, they don't just say, all right, player number one, hit the field. No, they start you out at practice and they say, all right, today we are going to run bleachers, right? You're going to go up and down and up and down and up and down the bleachers. Why? Because they are building endurance. So that when, if you're used to running bleachers and God puts you on a track, you can blow the devil out of your dust, right? And so this is what God's doing. He's building endurance in your life. Without endurance, there will be no character. And character grows, listen to me, in the valley of hardship. How many knows not a lot of things grow on the mountaintop? Right? There's not much oxygen. Usually it's rocky, it's hard. Things are beautiful up there, but not a lot of things grow on the mountaintop. But if you go down into the valley, where the rain comes down the mountain and settles in the valley, and you will begin to see how things, listen, all we do on the mountaintop is we admire what's growing in the valley. So character is grown in the valley of hardship. Well, Pastor, I'm tired of hardship in my life. Well, I understand that, and I understand how you feel that way, and I'm not picking on you this morning, but I can give you some hope that God is developing character in your life if you trust in Him and trust in His will for your life. Listen to this. This changed my life. When I penned this, I was like, God, if nobody gets this, it's for me. Character gained in the valley of hardship will sustain you on the mountaintop of luxury. Character gained in the valley of hardship will sustain you on the mountaintop of luxury. Why would God entrust you with something that He knows is going to tear you down? Why would God give you a level of success that He knows that listen, can I tell you that most people that win the lottery are bankrupt within the next couple of years? You know why? Because they didn't develop the character to handle the money. They didn't go through financial peace and learn how to invest and do things. Listen, I'm just telling you that things may be hard for you, but listen, God is trying to develop character in you so that one day He can trust you with the luxury of the mountaintop because you learned how to be responsible and you learned how to have endurance and you learned how to have character in your life. And when you reach the mountaintop of luxury, you can be like some of the people that I know who have been entrusted with millions of dollars and say, God, You gave it to me. I want to use it for You and Your kingdom. It all belongs to You anyway. Listen, they understand that if it wasn't for God and the things that, listen, my friend Lee Williams, he is one of the greatest men in my life. I'm telling you, he is a mentor to me, and he is living on the mountaintop of luxury. He lives in a mansion in Kentucky. He is well known all throughout the town. He is not well known for his money. He is well known for his kindness. But he received the luxury of the mountaintop after he walked through the valley of hardship when he lost his wife and his two daughters when a drunk driver ran over them in a church bus. Ran over their church bus. A drunk driver ran on the other side of the interstate and rammed right into the church bus. It blew up and he lost his daughter, his wife, and his two daughters. He had to walk through the valley of nothing. He had no family. His family was poor. He didn't come from money. Listen, but I'm telling you that as he walked through that, God began to open doors for him and do things in his life. And now God has not only blessed him with riches and wealth, but God has also blessed him with a lovely wife, two more daughters, and a son. He's living on the mountaintop of luxury, but because of the character that was developed in the valley of hardship, he can be sustained, and he gives God all the glory. Can somebody give God praise for that? So, we've got to build endurance and character. Number two, we've got to understand that growing pains are not always a bad thing. We're almost done. We've got to learn to deal with hurt and disappointment in our life. Growing pains are not always a bad thing. In fact, the Lord is close. Psalm 34, verse 18 says this, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." You may be here and saying, "Pastor, man, you just don't know what I'm going through today. I don't know how to rejoice in that. I don't know how to endure through this. I'm going through something. Listen, my heart is broken. I've been disappointed. I've been let down. I've been stabbed in the back." These are all things that happen in life. Can somebody say amen? Can I tell you this? These are things, unfortunately, that even happen at church. You know why? Because we're people. And people make mistakes. And sometimes those mistakes can be very devastating. Hurts. Disappointments, things done to, listen, but can I remind you this morning that if you're hurt and you're low, God's not saying, "Well, if they'll get up, I'll help them." He's close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed this morning. You may be going through a hard time this morning, but I want to remind you that God is with, listen, on the race of your life, on the race course that God has set before you, on the path that God has set before you, there very well could be hurts and disappointments. But God is close, and He will rescue you from every snake that you didn't see laying there. Amen? Because your race is full of ups and downs, you must learn to trust God with your disappointments. You've got to trust God with your disappointments. Man, things didn't go your way. That's okay. Trust God. He knew that that was going to happen. Can somebody say amen? We serve an omniscient God. He is all-knowing. He knows the end from the beginning. So when he put your feet on this course, he knew that there was going to be a rattlesnake around the corner. He knew that Paul was going to get snake bit by, but who cares? Just shake it off and go on, right? He understands that. But he's with you. And as long as God is with you, there is nothing formed against you that will prosper. Can somebody say amen? Is that still Bible? All right. And we know that God causes everything. Somebody say everything. Not just the good things. He causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. What does that mean? That literally means that everyone who loves the Lord God, right? Those who love God and who are called according to His purpose for them. What does that mean? Those who are walking according to their calling of what God has called them to do in their life. God says no matter what comes against you, no matter what the enemy throws your way, no matter how deep the pit was, Joseph, that was formed for you. Listen, no matter what happens in your life, God will take it and He will form it and He will shape it and He will mold it and He will say, this is going to be for your good. I don't know if I can make it. If you can make it, He will make it something good. Allow God to work with your failures. Allow God to work with your failures. Worship team, come. I'm not going to be able to finish. I want to talk to you about a few individuals this morning. How many of you absolutely hate failure? I don't like failure. I don't like to lose. I was talking Wednesday night how I love to play the game of Catan. It's one of my new favorite things. I really enjoy that. I blame Pastor Quay for it. And Alex and Sue, they got me hooked on this game, Catan. And really, it's just a lot of fun, a whole lot of fun. And so we bought the game of Catan for our house because used to, we would just say, hey, Pastor Quay, you want to come over? We'll cook you dinner. Oh, yeah, that sounds good. Can you bring Catan? Or we call Alex and Cecilia. Hey, Alex and Cecilia, what are you doing tonight? Nothing. Oh, I'm glad you said that. You want to bring Catan? We bought our own game of Catan. I think we played 6 times. Is that right? Seth saying yes, 6 times. We write our name in the box every time we win, right? And the date that we won, because we like competition at my house. We played 6 times, and Seth's name is in the box 6 times. 6 times! Now, the old Travis about came out last time. I'm done with this game. Why do I want to play a game that I know I'm going to lose at? We don't like failure. We don't like doing things. Listen, ask the Arkansas Razorbacks. I'll throw some anointing oil on y'all. We don't like failure. I'm going to talk about a few individuals. We're going to close. Jack and Draca. I don't know if you know this guy or not, but he wrote a proposal to develop a new test for pancreatic cancer at the age of 15 years old. He was turned down by 199 labs. He failed 199 times. He decided to try one more time and was approved, and his test has proven to be 100 times better than the old test for pancreatic cancer. And 26,000 times cheaper. This test will save countless lives. He failed 199 times, and he tried one more time. One more time. Some of you say, man, I've tried it. I've tried to invite somebody to church, and I've been rejected 199 times. Can I tell you, try again. Woo. Of the Holy Ghost. Michael Jordan. Everybody wants to be like Mike, especially if you're short, white, legally blind, and can't throw a basketball if your life depended on it. But I can wear some Jordans. I did when I was younger, man. You know, the ones that had the little pump on the tag, pump them things up. Oh, I'm going to play basketball today. Oh, I feel like Mike. Right? I didn't get picked for the team. Michael Jordan said this, has this quote, "I have missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I have lost almost 300 games. On 26 occasions, I've been entrusted to take the game-winning shot, and I missed. I have failed over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed." Why? Because I keep trying. And I get back up. Well, I fell down and I scraped my knees and it hurts and I don't like this and I'm sweating and I'm tired and I don't get to go fishing when I want to go fishing and I don't want and I'm out inviting people to church. They say no, I feel ridiculous. You know, I feel like nobody's listening to me, nobody likes me, nobody likes our church, and I don't want to do it anymore. I'm tired of asking people. Can I tell you that if you keep trying and you keep going and you keep doing what God's called you to do and you keep running your race, then you will reap a reward if you don't give up. Okay. Steve Jobs, one of my favorites. He was fired from Apple. He failed at the next computer company that he went to and got a job. He failed at the development of the Lisa computer. But when he returned to Apple, he led the company to be one of the most powerful and profitable companies in the nation. But he failed. Big. He was fired from Apple. Do you know that now there are articles after articles of people who have worked at Apple within the last 5 years that they say that it is a miserable place to work because all of the executives sit around drinking coffee talking about what things were like when Steve Jobs was alive. This man transformed. Listen, I've got right here. I've got a phone. Thank you, Steve Jobs. I've got an iPad with my notes on it. Thank you, Steve Jobs. We are living in a Steve Jobs techno world. But it began with failure. Here's my last one. Walt Disney could not get hired as an artist. No one wanted him. His first animation studio went bankrupt. Now Disney is worth over $55 billion. Why? Because a man named Walt Disney did not give up. Well, Pastor, I feel like what I'm doing is not a big deal. I feel like where I'm at, I don't feel like I... Listen, I can tell you, if you don't give up, there will be success somewhere on your path. If not here, then in glory, when you're standing before Jesus and he says, "Well done, good and faithful, who did not give up, servant." Learn from your failures and embrace disappointment. They could lead you to success. Can somebody say amen? Would you stand with me and give the Lord praise this morning? Come on, give the Lord praise this morning.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for this week's podcast. If you were blessed by the message today, please join us by visiting us at ucmagnolia.com. You can see what's going on. You can give online, and you can be a part of what God's doing at Unity Church Magnolia. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.